Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 297, Senator from Clinton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 297 be brought before the body.
You have heard the motion of the Senator from Grundy. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us. Senator from DeKalb.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 297 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. For a reminder of the body, this is the legislation, the water ISRIS, that we worked through on the floor. I believe we ended up with a six-year sunset on it. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
The senior senator from Clay has moved that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 297 be read a third time and put upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion? Senator from the 14th.
Yes, Mr. President. I would like to inquire of the senator from Andrew.
Senator from Nottoway, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to briefly talk about this bill since it came up. You know, I have a lot of tree huggers and advocates in my district, and it's amazing to me some of the legislation that doesn't even get brought up to the floor. And I've gotten 800, 1,000 messages via email or phone calls. I've had commercials. I've had all kinds of stuff with certain pieces of legislation. But it's kind of interesting how your specific bill just kind of flew under the radar. And so I like to teach people as often as I can, and I want them to be consistent in their advocacy for something or another. And so I know what your bill is about. I'm not asking you any questions about, if it's good or if it's bad, but what I do have issues with are advocacy groups that are out there who pay attention to some pieces of legislation and let other pieces of legislation fly under the radar. And I think that's really unacceptable at times, especially when they're related in concept. But what do you think about your legislation?
But this legislation?
Yeah. Why do you think it's not a bad bill?
This is a very reasonable proposal. Now, as you know, being in St. Louis County, they've been doing this in St. Louis County for almost a decade.
Check.
And so now they're going to have that opportunity to do it everywhere else in the state. I think that the biggest challenge or the biggest difference is maybe the right way to say it, Senator, and this legislation and maybe other ISRIS legislations that are proposed is the cost associated. The cost here is fairly small relative to the electric ISRIS, where there are some very substantial numbers that were talked about. And so my guess, I don't speak for anyone, but my guess from the advocacy groups is because of the smaller financial dollar amount of this relative to the electric ISRIS, that's why the focus has been on the electric side. And honestly, the other piece of this has been tried, proven that it's worked without contention, and so typically that doesn't bring people out to fight against it.
Okay, well, just so you know, I only got 5 letters from this one and over 1,000 for the other controversial one. So thank you for the inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion of the senator from Worth, senator from St. Genevieve?
Fire the senator from the 12th.
Does the senator from Sullivan yield? He does. Proceed.
Senator, it's true that St. Louis has been doing this for a long time. And I've been asked to support this bill from some folks on the side gallery. And the one request I made from them is that we have 10 years of data to work from. Can you give me a graph to show me that the ISRIS program is a more efficient way to determine rates for the consumer, and that after a period of time, the consumer is actually going to pay less because savings of dollars, sure, saving the cost of money, so on and so forth? That was asked last week, and it's still not been produced. I do not understand, if they really want to get this done, why I have not seen those numbers. Can you explain?
I don't have that graph. This is the first that I've heard about that, but I think that's a very reasonable request, and we will. I will see what I can do to help get that information. I think that would be a very helpful
and expanding the ISRS program right now, we're going to take on depreciation. And the way that paragraph has been drafted, it says that the depreciation will not go into effect until the revenues start. The revenues will start almost immediately, so that depreciation will start. But the way the wording is stated, it almost insinuates that it's going to be down the road.
That was not the intent. So if we need to clarify that, then that's a piece that we need to work on.
Okay.
My intent, Senator, was not to change how it's worked. Just allow it to happen outside of St. Louis County.
But then we're also adding sewer districts into this as well. So it's starting to build into a bigger beast than expanding what St. Louis has been doing.
Understand.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you.
Can I inquire for the Senator from Butler?
Senator from Butler, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, you and I have discussed this bill, and trying to come from a consumer standpoint and a business, does this bill make sense to you in that it's an efficient way to take care of our consumers?
I don't think so. And speaking just a moment ago, you talked about the St. Louis. I do know the first year that the water ISRS was up there, St. Louis County water customers up there experienced an overcharge over $1 million. Just really fast, right off the bat. This is going to affect a lot of things, but you're talking about business right now. Businesses use a lot of water. People in the chamber, in the state, everybody's experiencing high water costs at this time and high utility costs.
Well, don't you agree that if this is such a tremendous and exciting idea that we don't have the data from the 10 years of experience to prove that this is an efficient program? I mean, we've been given that opportunity, we've had that conversation, and we still do not have that information. Does that concern you?
That does concern me. You and I had that conversation a couple days ago, and you told me you had been looking for that information for quite some time. And there's lots of issues I have with this bill, and I'll be talking about them here in a little bit. But what about folks down in your area? I mean, they feel like they need to be people contacting you wanting to pay more for their utilities.
Well, my concern here is that this has been under the radar. It's not been very public. So, no, I haven't got a lot of response from my constituents. My Farmington area is a public utility, so it won't actually be affected. But I think this is the type of bill that, coming from a business background, I've read through the bill and I understand cost and the effectiveness of that cost. Not fully understanding an ISRS, I really want to make a decision based upon true numbers. And that's the most efficient way to make a decision if you have an analysis that shows you a comparison of those numbers. So for me to be able to make a decision on this, I'd have to have that information that proves that an ISRS is a more efficient way to streamline the rates and that the increases over a period of time actually benefits the consumer.
Yes, I understand that. And also, it will affect a lot of rural districts, too, all over the state before this is over with. And, hopefully it doesn't affect your district all that much, but we'll see.
All right. Thank you for the inquiry.
Senator from Butler.
Yeah, I'd like to speak on the bill just for a few minutes.
Proceed.
We need to get a few things straight on this bill here. A lot of folks have been really busy in the building here, and I just want everybody to know that expanding this interest rate increase surcharge, the entire state of Missouri is going to be hit with it. The rural areas especially going to be hit hard, not to mention the cities that's already been hit, being hit hard and have been hit hard. And it has just a whole new laundry list of cost. Got hidden rate increase provisions in it. It'll cost the customers millions by forcing them to pay full sticker price for utility depreciated assets that the senator talked about just a few moments ago. You know, this is kind of like charging customers a full price for a new car when you're actually getting a used car. And that just kind of brings it down into more simple language. But also, this is going to be just for one of the big water suppliers. I won't mention their name right now. I will say they made $342 million last year selling water, though. That's not bad. But at any rate, it's already been proven that their water rates would be going up by approximately 10% annually if this bill gets through. Also, it allows single-issue rate surcharges. And the thing that's always concerned to me about all these utility bills is how we're circumventing the oversight of the Public Service Commission, the PSC. And this one does it also. Again, just in the first year, when this ESTRA statute was put in St. Louis County, the customers out there were overcharged over $1 million. And they have no way to ever get their money back, in case somebody was interested in knowing that. In April, the PSC on April 5th, 2013, their report, the PSC staff on April 5th, 2013, their report concluded that the current water ESRA surcharge has, in fact, driven up rates. Of course, utilities falsely claim that if customers pay more now, rates will go down in the long run. I don't know about that, but financial analysis proves that ESRA surcharges never make rates go down. Customers' rates will increase over the short run and also the long run. Utilities want to expand ESRA in order to guarantee higher earnings at all the consumers' expense for their shareholders and dividends. But they already make high profits. The utility I mentioned to a moment ago, they already have a triple B plus. We're always hearing, well, you know, if we get all these utility legislation done, everybody's going to be able to borrow money cheaper, and we're going to be able to supply the utilities cheaper and whatever. But actually, this Senate Bill 297 actually expands water issues to the entire state. Previously, it only applied to St. Louis County. It also creates new issues for sewer utilities. I don't know, a lot of folks need to also realize that some of this could be retroactive costs coming back. It also expands the following new costs: energy efficiency projects, service lines, meters, collecting sewers, including the force lines, gravity sewers, interceptors, laterals, trunk sewers, manholes, lamp hose, necessary appurtenances, including all kinds of services, lift stations, pressure pumps, and items for PSC orders, or any forms of a plant utility named in this paragraph that improve technology, collecting sewer clean relining projects. So I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about our senior citizens. They're having a hard enough time just buying their food and their medicine and paying their living costs and their housing and clothing. We have businesses right now that's struggling in the economy that we have right now. We have veterans. We have disabled people. We had lots of disabled people here today. They're already having a hard enough time paying their utility bills. And this water bill is only going to increase that even more. There's been a lot of talk, in this building about corporate welfare and, picking winners and losers and all that. I'm here to tell you some of these bills do just that. So I'm really worried about the living costs for the folks. You know, they're already having to pay high gasoline costs, clothing, housing, food, the electric bills, heat and air, medicine. A lot of folks I know right now are skipping pills just to be able to make it through the week. We're talking about companies here. It's kind of like they already have the golden goose, and now they sort of want to eat the golden goose. I mean, they already operate inside a monopoly, guaranteed certain returns, going in with a little bit of oversight from the PSC. They're already making hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, take a look at their executives' pay. Take a look at their dividends. You know, I'm from business. I think profit's a good thing. But I don't think you need to be doing it on the backs of the ratepayers. You need to do your own investments. But these type of bills continue, in my opinion, to circumvent the PSC oversight that we already have. And monopolies, they already have the means for their improvements. So I just want to remind everybody what the ISRIS, the famed ISRIS acronym stands for. The old one was Infrastructure System Replacement Surcharge. Infrastructure System Replacement Surcharge. Now you have Infrastructure Strengthening and Regulatory Streamlining. I don't know what that means to everybody else, but it means to me like we're just going to make a little bit more Teflon to get on through the oversight. So I'm just going to close. I want to speak on the bill here just for a moment. I'm just going to close. I'm just going to encourage everyone in the chamber here to vote no on this huge unfair increase on our citizens and our constituents back home and the future constituents and citizens we have back home, that this bill is going to reach out and touch them. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire from the Senator from the 3rd, I believe.
Does the Senator from the 3rd yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I just caught the tail end of some of your inquiry a while ago, and you were saying something about the depreciation side of this versus when they started paying the rates increase. Can you tell me just kind of how that went?
Well, the depreciation, the way the language is drafted, is that depreciation will not start until the revenues start taking place. And with the ISRIS, the concept is to start charging the rate up front because of the projects that's been completed. So, therefore, the depreciation is going to start taking effect more directly, more up front as the revenues start coming in. So the cost of the project is going to be allocated into the project more up front than later on, so which will allow them to put that as part of their cost of doing business quicker.
Part of their rate increase would be that. They're going to get that
out
where they couldn't before. And I know the senator from the 12th, I believe, I know some of his people's probably listening to it, this conversation, so I think they were going to try to get an answer to that.
Yes.
That's correct. The other thing that that I'm going to be asking, probably not of you, but they can maybe be preparing for this answer too a little bit. But I know when we talked about this early on, there was a concern where it was now in St. Louis, they had an idea what it was going to increase those ratepayers. The one question I know that we ask or that I ask is what was that rate increase going to be in the rural areas or different areas of the state? So was it going to be 80 cents a month, or I know the senator from Buchanan, I think, has a district in there. Is his going to be $5? And I think hopefully they were going to get us that information. I did never really hear from that. So if they are listening, maybe they'll have that. And I'm going to inquire from the senator from Andrew here just in a few minutes, and maybe he will have some idea or not about that. But
well, I think there's been some very valid questions asked, and we should have data. Again, 10 years of experience should prove to us whether or not the rates, and you can extrapolate how the rates would have been affected. They say it would have been an up and down yo-yo if they would have had to charge the rates based upon events that happened and infrastructure replaced, but because they had an ISRIS, they were able to graduate that. Okay, over a 10-year period, after 10 years, net-net, did the ISRIS create an environment where the ratepayers ended up paying less or more? I mean, mathematically, that can be calculated. I've asked for that a week ago, still have not seen that information, so I'm still curious.
All right. Thanks for the inquiry. Mr. President, inquire from me.
Senator from Polk.
Inquire from the senator from the 12th.
Does the senator from Holt yield? He does. Proceed.
Senator,
you
kind of heard some of the questions I was asking there. I don't know if you've had a chance to review some of that or have received any information. I'm curious if you have, number one, and especially the one on the rate increases. There was an estimated rate increase I know that was being talked about originally. And I guess what I'm asking, have we found out any different from other parts of the state? Do we know or is it possible to know?
I have not heard. I've not had anyone come back to me on what that would be. I have asked for that as well, so we would have a better idea as we move through this process. As for the depreciation and some of those issues that were discussed here, this is the first that I'm hearing of those, so I need to do a little work. We're going to circle back around to make sure that even though this is moving through the process, it was not my intent to change how this works.
I would think I know you well enough to know that you would be erring on the side of a ratepayer if there was ever a problem. And I'm not saying anybody's pulled anything. I don't know. But I just think there's questions we need to know. I would want to know those things before I voted, for sure.
Well, and what I want to make sure of is that that even though this is moving through the process, by the time we get to a point where we're ready for final resolution, that we haven't drafted language or in the way the language was drafted doesn't create an unintended consequence that we didn't mean to do. That's why we need to do a little work on that. But you have my word, Senator. We're going to get that figured out.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Thanks, sir.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the bill? Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the senator from Butler?
Does the senator from Butler yield? He does. Proceed.
Senator, the other day I spoke quite a while on the floor on this bill, half hour or so, on things that I had that concerned business and whether or not that we're going to expect that large companies are going to make smart business decisions when we kind of open the checkbook, so to speak. Is that something that you have a concern about?
I have a lot of concern with that. I sure do.
Whenever we expand an ISRIS, regardless of the industry, for new cost, it concerns me that some of these companies are going to say, okay, let's get on some energy efficiency projects that may or may not be cost effective. Let's put in new meters. Let's put in new service lines. To me, it seems like it opens a door for a lot of things that they could do that may not be absolutely necessary. I understand the safety, leaking water lines, that kind of thing. I think if an ISRIS is related just to those immediate needs, which I think in my mind, if you have a service area and you have a monopoly, that should be in the cost of your rate increases. But if not, I can see some of those must-do things. However, are we opening the door to, let's go out there and do a new energy project and get some kudos, and because the ratepayer is going to pay for it anyway, so if it doesn't work out, it doesn't really matter. Let's build some extra lines, just maybe there's going to be a new subdivision go in. Are those concerns that you have, or am I unusual in my concerns?
No, those concerns are very real, and those doors have already been open on some other utility cases. But you talked about the monopoly. First of all, for everybody needs to realize that monopolies really don't operate like for-profit companies do. You know, they're guaranteed a certain return. They're not really under the gun all the time like businesses that I'm from, where you have to do your own investments. You buy your own inventory. You provide the services. You get it all ready to go. You hope somebody sells it, and you hope somebody gets enjoyment out of the product that you're making or servicing or whatever. And then if you have anything left over, then your shareholders, they're able to participate in the success of the company. But I'm just here to tell you that they already have a means of getting whatever they need done. No matter what anybody thinks about the PSC, I've heard a lot of information about the PSC the last few months I've been here. Whatever you think about the PSC, they are the last checkpoint that we have for consumer protection. And anytime we circumvent their areas of expertise and utilities not going in and presenting their case and being heard, I tell you, we're going down a slippery slope. Consumers right now and businesses in the state of Missouri are under assault right now and have been, and we need to continue that oversight and not be circumvented.
Well, Senator from Moore said in his remarks that, this is not as bad as an electric ISRIS or some of those because there are more dollars involved, but we don't know that.
That's right.
Because this provision that we're discussing today does create a radical, unprecedented, and an unfair change, in my opinion, in the Missouri utility regulation industry. In other words, a monopoly usually doesn't go broke. So I have a problem, and I have to vote no on this because I don't see it our place as representatives of the people to give an open checkbook. It may be used very wisely, but we're certainly, in my mind, giving up any control that the state of Missouri has if we vote yes on this particular bill. It concerns me greatly, and I think it should concern everyone.
Oh, absolutely. A few minutes ago, Senator from Polk and the senator from the 12th, we're talking about 50 cents and $5 and stuff like that. But one of the big water distributors alone, I mean, they're expecting 10% annually. So I don't know anybody that's got water bills that low where they got a $5 water bill or something. But at any rate, all the information I'm seeing, it could actually be around 10% annually and a cost of about $23 million more increased annually. To some consumers already, not counting when this thing gets spread out over the state.
Well, and I realize that these companies have shareholders in mind, and they're going to be the most profitable that they can for those shareholders. But there are accounting mechanisms sometimes, as was pointed out, some of the depreciation and when that's actually expensed and when it's shown up. That just concerns me immensely, that they can move quite a few millions of dollars if we do this, to show, hey, we didn't make very much money last year. We lost a lot of money last year. So therefore, we need to increase these infrastructure surcharges again, and they can do it. There's nobody to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, there's no discussion. It's just like, yes, that's what we'll do, and that really concerns me. So to me, it sets up a very bad business model. I think that, you know, by nature, some industries are a monopoly, but by nature, we have in the past, as a state and as a legislative body, had some pretty good controls over how they acted, whether or not it was appropriate. I don't want any more government control, but in these situations, government controls are necessary to make them act appropriately. And I think if we give that up, regardless of how small it might be now, you know, this is a little bite of the apple, this ain't going to hurt nobody too bad, so then do we take a bigger bite? And at what point do we not even need a public service commission anymore?
Well, all I can say is that it's worked for 100 years. PSC, I got an invitation, I guess everybody got one, to celebrate their 100th anniversary. So it looks to me like it's worked 100 years. You know, you were talking about dividends a while ago. I'm looking at a sheet of paper on some of these large water companies. They paid out $157 million, about $158 million in dividends last year. And I don't know what everybody else thinks about it. I think that's a great return. That was in 2011 when you earned $309 million selling water and services. So it's not like those shareholders are not being fairly compensated, and their employees also. So, you know, monopoly companies really don't have an incentive like real businesses do, where you're worried about profit and loss. And if you have a loss, you got to just make it up yourself or go down to the bank, get a loan, and hope you make it up again the next year. But, you know, you have to manage your labor, you have to manage your costs, you have to manage your benefits, your legacy costs. And, you know, just like the Senator for 34th, I can't tell you how many times I've heard him say back there, how does this affect the little lady down the street?
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about big business around here a lot, but really how does it affect the little lady down the street? They're just, you know, a lot of folks in my district, four of the counties in my district are the poorest counties in the state of Missouri, and eight of my counties are in one of the poorest congressional districts in the whole United States. Now, it may not affect somebody, say, in Charles County or Cole County or somewhere where the average median income is maybe $56,000 a year, but down in my district, my median family income down there is $26,000 a year. So.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery today, we have 5th and 6th graders from St. Ignatius School in Marthasville, Missouri. They rode in today on the Missouri River Runner, came in on the Amtrak train. They're here today to learn about their state government. They've got several parents and a teacher with them. They also are being led today by the very capable State Representative Bart Corman, and I'd like the body to make them feel welcome.
Would the guests of the Senator from the 10th please rise and be welcomed by the Missouri Senate. Senators, you may continue your debate.
So, Senator, I do appreciate your inquiry, and I've got a few more things I wanted to say, and then I'm going to sit down, and we'll do what the will of the body is. I felt that some of these things need to be brought up or talked about a little bit more, and so thank you very much for your inquiry.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from Phelps.
you know, I think one thing we need to...
Senator, are you wanting to speak on the
bill? The bill.
Okay, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I think that as we discuss this, and there's been a lot of points brought up, my whole idea, I guess, is, you know, I haven't always in the past thought the Public Service Commission did a fantastic job guarding the ratepayers, but I think it's kind of our last ditch stop and look at these things, and here we're kind of taking them out of contention. And my concern, I guess, is that we are creating some new hidden rate increases, provisions that are kind of buried in this legislation and technical language that may cost consumers a lot more money than we think. And a six-year sunset is helpful, but 6 years, a lot can change. So I would like everyone to think about that for the vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
We are on the motion of the senator from DeKalb. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from Grundy, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.